Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Again, fellow basement dwellers, this is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you in to another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, a part of the Chair Shot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are joined by a full bandwagon today as we record on this Father's Day. Happy belated Father's Day to all the dads out there, and happy Father's Day to the dads right here on the podcast. We've got pet dads, we've got dad dads, we've got, well, no granddads, right? Nobody's a granddad yet.
Not officially, no? Technically, yes, but pseudo, not officially.
You're a pseudo granddad? Technically, step-granddad. We got technical granddads, we got them all. That first voice you heard, the oldest, the old man Jenkins of the podcast, Mr. David Ungar, the lawyer himself.
The Leroy Jenkins of podcasting, folks.
Leroy Jenkins! That little video had its anniversary like a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. If you don't know, go look up Leroy Jenkins on YouTube and get a laugh, especially if you're one of those online gamers out there. There's nothing like seeing all these plans go down to waste. Father to at least one cat. I think more. Do you have more than one cat, bro? I'm not sure. But Mr. PC Tunney, I always see you hold the same cat up to the camera. So happy Father's Day to you, Mr. Saturday Night PC Tunney.
Sorry, PETA and pet communities. That doesn't make me a dad. I rescind and do not accept your happy Father's Day. I am not a father. The cats are now old enough where if they got really sick, I'll be honest with you, we can move on. I don't have to finish that sentence, but you'd never do that with your own kids, okay? So happy Father's Day to the three of you. And I already wished my two dads, my dad and my stepdad, a happy Father's Day.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think there's as much responsibility caring for a pet. Not quite the same. I wanted to send it to college, I guess. So got that. But Raymond S. Cashington Esquire, the 9,376,247th. He's got all the progeny, all of the children up in here. Or at least, I don't know. He's got kids.
Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day to PC Tunney. He doesn't want you to know, but all 14 of his progeny around the United States, he was like big like Big Daddy Dudley back in the 70s. That's Tunney.
Tunney Appleseed just spread it all over the country.
Oh,
he even sent a couple of them down here with me. So, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was a long shot.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, gentlemen, and everybody else out there listening in internet land.
That's great. So I am going to be fully transparent here, gentlemen. I got a Father's Day dinner to get to and prepare. So we got not quite as robust an agenda as I may have normally done, though these are some really good topics and some stuff to talk about. There's some exciting stuff to talk about this week. So a movie announcement 38 years in the making on today's show that we got to talk about. We're going to talk about evil corporate entities still being evil corporate entities and what I think could be a very, shall we say, sparse San Diego Comic-Con. But before we get to any of that, we have got to start with a limited trailer park, a return to a couple of pieces of film that we are going to be watching, Trailer Park. Well, at least three of us are going to watch both of these. Four of us, I got doubts. I mean, I'm sure they'll watch it because they feel like they have to, but they're not going to be happy about it. But before we can talk about it, before we can discuss, we need some banjo. I'm feeling like a four today, a Father's Day four, Mr. Tunney. So if you could do the honors, hit that beautiful banjo. Right. Well, like I mentioned, only two films in the trailer park this week. Well, one film, one series. We got another look at the Disney Plus Ironheart series. We are merely, as we record this, 9 days away from the first three, I think it's the first three episodes of Ironheart hitting Disney Plus. Really interesting thing before we talk about the trailer. This is only a 6-episode series. Is Disney making a mistake by not stretching this out a little bit more? Like 4 weeks? Do we like this or do we not like this? It's bang, 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 3 episodes, and then we go weekly the rest of the way. It seems like an odd decision. I don't know, Dave. Like, am I on an island here? Am I just riffing, making stuff up? I don't know how I feel about it. I don't like the binge.
I think you're right. I think there's a plan in place, though. They want to get it out and done before Fantastic Four, and that's why they're doing it this way. I think that's kind of how how they're looking at it. Is like, yeah, let's rush through this. I mean, 6 episodes seems to kind of be, well, I was going to say the sweet spot. I mean, Daredevil is kind of an outlier, you know, that sort of thing. Everything else has been
right,
kind of that 6-episode thing. But my best guess is that's why they're doing it. It's like, let's get this out, let's bridge this gap between now and Fantastic Four. And see, I don't know, maybe we get some sort of tease to Fantastic Four in this. But that's my best guess as to why they're doing it.
More likely tease, Ray, Young Avengers or another Fantastic Four lead.
Oh, no, I guarantee there'll be a Young Avengers tease. I mean,
right.
Riri is from Chicago, but she does a lot of her stuff at MIT in Boston, which is up the road from Jersey City.
Ray, if you make more guarantees, you're going to have to switch your handle to Ray Name. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, I'm about to. Oh, I've been Roidmaster too long. It's time to change. But if this is our fault.
You look good, Susie. I want to kiss you.
This is all of our fault because we bitched and moaned about Marvel and TV and all this so long that now this is the Here Damn series. Here Damn, you got it.
I mean, I guess. So. We're going to watch, the way we're going to do this, we are going to cover this, all 3 episodes of the debut. We'll cover that in one episode. I haven't looked to see, has anybody seen anything on runtimes? Tony, you're usually good at looking stuff like that. Have you seen anything on runtimes?
I just looked. They're not out there yet. So, okay. I mean, my take on it is I feel like they wanted to do more than they could have done in like a 2.5-hour movie. And you're going to get probably what in 6 episodes, you probably get like 4 or 5 hours worth of stuff. So, you know, they really want to introduce this, like you said beforehand, before they got everything else that's coming afterwards. So we'll see. It looks fun. It looks really fun.
Yeah, I do think it looks fun. Ray, you were very excited to see the footage you saw in this trailer. And I feel like it would be only proper for you to explain what it is about this trailer that sort of shifted your perspective a little bit. Not that you've never said, oh, my God, I don't like what's happening here. But you did say there were some disappointments that seemed like maybe they were calmed a little bit out of this trailer.
So I don't want to be to steal from my brother, Retainer Boy, but thank you, by the way. Well done. Right on cue. I am a Riri Williams comic fan. I am not a guy that has seen her on TV or movies and fallen in love with the character. I've read almost every comic of hers that's come out. And so ultimately, I'm all fine with you changing things about the character, but you have to have the core tenets. Steve Rogers is not the same guy if he's not a scrawny kid who sacrifices everything and then becomes Steve Rogers. He's not the same guy if he was born buff and swole. It's not the same dude. Riri's character intrinsically has to be the girl whose dad and stepfather were killed in Chicago due to gang violence, drive-bys, and her best friend was killed in front of her due to gang violence. That is why she becomes who she becomes. That is her reason. That is her source. Yes, she's a tinkerer, almost to the level of like savant level, but she wouldn't even care about finding the Iron Man suit and want to do something if her dad and her friend hadn't been killed. That is her reason. That is her Uncle Ben. And so we saw her in Wakanda Forever, and we've seen other little things about her since then, and she was fun in that movie. But everything we've seen so far has made her kind of like the cool black girl who's funny and has the quips. Riri Williams is damn near autistic in the sense that she is 100% singularly focused on one thing. And a lot of that is because of the way she grew up. So to see this kind of go back to the core of the character while still keeping what the MCU has built made me very happy as a viewer.
Dave, Anthony Ramos as the Hood. What do you think? We got some more look. We got some looks at him. Got a good look at his footage. I love that we're now seeing more of the Mystic stuff thrown in there. I think that is great. What were your thoughts on this last trailer, this last teaser for Ironheart?
Yeah, I think I echo a lot of what, I mean, I'm not as big an Ironheart fan as Ray is, and that's fine. Ray teaches me a lot of stuff about Ironheart, so thank you, Ray. Yeah, it looks really interesting. You got a little bit more depth with this trailer than we did the first time. You got a little bit more of the story starts getting fleshed out. You get to see a lot more of the characters, and kind of like, you know, science and mysticism meeting each other is always when the MCU gets kind of interesting. And I think that this series is going to be dabbling in those arts quite a bit more. So I'm ready for it. I think, like Ray's saying, you know, we asked for it and here it is. But I think it's good. I mean, you've got to get that Iron Man figure into the new Avengers. And you could see it in this last trailer, especially. You get to see more of that suit in action, I think, and kind of see what it's capable of. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good series, and I'm definitely ready for it.
All right, last question before we move on. Does the Hood survive Ironheart?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, and you're going to hate this, Patrick, and I'm not trying to troll you, but the Hood is a conduit for a bigger person, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Mephisto, we'll say it. It's fine.
You said it. I didn't say it, but again.
I know. If somebody has listened to this show long enough to be like, Patrick, I know you're going to hate it, and we're talking about a Marvel Cinematic Universe possibility, like, let's just call the elephant out. So, all right. Ironheart, June 24th. That's when it's going to hit. All three episodes, or first three episodes, are going to drop. We're going to get to the halfway point in one night, and that's pretty something. So I hope we get some run times, too. We got a second trailer, or second, third, fourth. God, I don't know how many trailers we've got now, how many different looks we've gotten. And I got to say it, getting a little tired of Superman trailers. Getting a little tired of Superman trailers.
Dave's heart just broke on the screen.
Here's the thing. I say this as a guy who is going to spend his money to see this film and is going to try and see it on an IMAX level screen or something like that. I don't have a theater that does the 4X, whatever it is, the Screen X or whatever it is, that Tony, that you have. But I'm going to go see it. But the more footage I see of this, and I get that there is a Silver Age connection that is being done here. But I have two questions, Dave, and I'm going to let Dave be the resident Superman expert, gets the answer to this. One, there's homage and then there's too much. And how much is too much of that Silver Age sensibility and sort of style? My other big problem here is as I watch this, I'm getting some Zack Snyder vibes out of the action. You know how I feel about, like, I'm sorry, when you have a slow motion punch to a dude that has his teeth fly out and then we got to break a fourth wall with it hitting the camera. Because if you listen, you hear the teeth hit the camera. And I don't think, like, I'm sure somebody's going to think that's cool. I think that takes me out of the moment of the fight. So there's some of that, and I want there to be humor in my superhero movies. I do. I'm seeing too much funny. And again, the thing that James Gunn did so well with Guardians of the Galaxy, and he could be funnier with Guardians of the Galaxy because they're a little goofy, right? They're goofy with heart. I'm not saying Superman can't be funny. I think that's why you have a Guy Gardner in there. I think that's why you have other characters in there. But Superman himself, part of what I want to see is Superman as kind of the straight man to the other funny people. I'm not always seeing that. When he's being kind of cocky and smarmy and, hey, eyes up here, I'm out. I'm like, I don't like you. I want to punch you in the face with a kryptonite glove. You jack. I'm on Lex Luthor's side all of a sudden.
Whatever gets you to spend your money, Patrick.
I'm spending it one time. I'm not going to go see it. I might see Fantastic Four a couple times. I'm really all on board on that movie.
Here, while I'm talking, I might as well just go ahead so you guys don't have to worry about whether or not I'm paying attention. But, I mean, I'm tired of seeing the trailers, too. Not because I'm tired of seeing Superman. And I'm not a trailer guy to begin with. But, like, let's get to it. Let's go. I'm not worried about the movie. I believe in James Gunn. I like what I've seen so far. We'll see. I just don't think we know enough, really. I think this is going to be one of those things. And I just looked it up. They have that showing opening weekend on Saturday at like 3 o'clock on a super screen in real 3D. So I think I'm going to have to do super screen real 3D for this.
The thing about this last trailer, I hope it's the last trailer. They didn't even advertise it as a trailer. It was disguised as an Amazon Prime. Hey, go see this early sort of situation. Get your tickets now. It's like, and you go there and you click on it. It's like, wait a second, this is a whole fucking new trailer. So I thought that was piss poor marketing on the part of Gunn, DC, and this movie. Because it's like, you could have told people what was going on. But beyond that, yeah, I you know, you guys already know how I feel about Superman. I hear what you're saying, Pat, about, you know, is he too campy? Is this too cutesy? Is he too not serious enough? But you run into that problem of balancing that, because you don't want him to be like, as much as I love Henry Cavill, his version of Man of Steel was a little bit too serious and too dark. And that was a complaint. Hey, he's too much like Batman. That's not our Superman sort of situation. This is,
but that doesn't mean because this was over here, let's go way over here.
Well, you got to have a balance. You got to try and find that balance.
Right.
And
it doesn't feel balanced, man. It doesn't feel balanced.
Well, I think like the part where he's like, hey, stop messing around. Hey, I'm not messing around. I'm doing important stuff here. Okay. That's a little bit not what you're looking for. Oh, Tony's got some visual going on there. But I think, you know, I love the part of the trailer that I really enjoy a lot was just kind of the, you know, you get to see the tension between Superman and Guy Gardner. So I love the fact that he's like, make a move, Big Blue, that sort of thing. I know you were critical of Lois flying a spaceship because how did that work out? I don't know the story.
That's a movie trope I hate in general. Like people who should have no idea how to, like anytime somebody's like in the control cockpit, it's like, oh, how should I do this? I can fly it. Like,
yeah,
even when Will Smith flew the fucking alien spacecraft in Independence Day, I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, he got, you know, he had to get the axis reversed, but he figured it out.
And the controls are always like video game controls, sure. Like, because like it's just not, no.
Well, I mean, in reality, it's probably telepathically controlled, but hey, let's not get into all that. I mean, where he punches the guy's teeth out, a lot of people were not. The complaint was funny. It wasn't about the slow motion. It was like, oh, Superman would never punch somebody's teeth out. Yeah, he would. if he's actually like having to fight for his life, yeah, that's realistic. But it's also Crypto also hit him with the shot at the same time. So, I'm like kind of like Tunney. Let's get to it. Let's see what this movie's all about. Let's see if this is really what's going to launch the DCU or whether this is going to just crash and burn like everything else. Because right now it could probably go either way. I think you just listen to enough people to think about it. I like what I've seen so far. I like the visuals. I like the way they're presenting it. Corn sweat keeps growing on me as Superman. I still would like to see, I still don't dig the suit. I do like the music and the soundtrack and the way that they're sampling in some of John Williams' score here and there with the new stuff. I think that's really clever. But yeah, I think I'm done with the trailers. Let's get to it. We're a few weeks away if you're going to do it early on for Prime members. So I'm ready for it, man.
So I, as a resident Superman hater, the movie's going to do okay. It's not irredeemable. It has some issues, but I think by and large, there's enough there for it to be the bones of a good movie. If we're speaking directly on this newest trailer, the one thing for me that I loved was Lex Luthor, seeing a lot more of him kind of plotting and scheming. Now,
He's a prick. He's talking about wiping out his entire lineage. Everybody, you're all dead. It's like, God damn, that's like Don Corleone or something going on here.
Well, Luthor is the most xenophobic dude on TV, right? He hates aliens. But the thing that's interesting to me is, I know the dude is like ridiculous level smart. Superman's been out in this movie now for 3 years. That's James Gunn has come out and said it's been about 3 years he's been Superman. How the hell did this dude find the fortress? Like, he just walked up at that bitch like he was going to his homie house.
Well,
like,
okay, well, we don't know.
No, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just...
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get you. I think that moment was in there to be like, oh, this is, you know, the vulnerability and threat piece of it.
Oh,
but
for
I
sure.
do, like, I'm sure we'll find out. And Lex Luthor's all, like, think about how many times Lex Luthor has found on film the Fortress of Solitude. This makes number 3. I do believe Kevin Spacey, Lex Luthor found it. Gene Hackman, Lex Luthor found it. And now Nicholas Holt, Lex Luthor has found it. And even if you want to argue, Jesse Eisenberg found not really the Fortress of Solitude, but found the ship with the DNA, right?
Well, the ship was in the middle of the city. That wasn't hard.
Yeah, the ship never left.
Right.
And the thing about this was, all of Superman had been Superman for a while. This is a new Superman.
Right.
So to find him so easily was interesting to me. And again, I'm fine with it, but it's just things that make you say,
Yeah, again, I get it. If there's a thing where Superman has been a known entity for some time, that like I will be intrigued to see how that plays out. And I don't know. We're all gonna watch it. We're gonna talk about it on this damn show. You know we're going to. And I'm sure if Patrick hated it, I will catch no end of reprisal from this bandwagon. Dave's already ready to go.
I don't think we'll hate it.
Let's talk about something I think most of us are excited about, and that is the news. It's official. It had been rumored for a while, but it is now official. 38 years after the original graced our theaters, a new Spaceballs movie is coming from Amazon MGM Studios, as announced via one of the best announced. I almost put this in the trailer park, by the way, guys, but it's not a trailer, right? But it's the Spaceballs music doing the Star Wars parody screen crawl, running down all the stuff that has come out in the world of like science fiction and fantasy since Spaceballs. And then Mel Brooks pops up after the trailer to be like, for 38 years, fans have been demanding something, and instead we gave them Spaceballs too, while wearing a shirt that said Spaceballs the shirt. At 98 years young, Mel Brooks showing he still got it. To quote a different field, he can still go. And wrapped up within this screen crawl have been a flurry of casting announcements. We know that Bill Pullman will be back as Lone Star. We know that Kiki Palmer has been cast reportedly as a sort of a dot matrix follow-up character. We know Lewis Pullman, son of one Bill Pullman will be playing Lone Star's son in the film. We know that our good friend Mel Brooks will be returning to reprise his role as Yogurt. We know Josh Gad has been cast somewhere in an undisclosed role that we're all waiting for it to be announced that he's going to play a reprise. Please don't be Barf. I don't think he'll be Barf. I think he'll be Barf's son or something like that. But he's going to be the goofy Mog character. And in what I think is the biggest piece of news out of this whole thing, coming out of retirement to return as Dark Helmet, one Rick Moranis, which is just the best news in the world, in my opinion. I hope that Mel Brooks is playing like a decrepit President Scroob as well, because he played President Scroob in Spaceballs. I think that would also be a delight. But Rick Moranis back as Dark Helmet. And that's his first acting role in God knows how long. I'm so excited for this movie, you guys. I don't care if it's terrible. I don't care if it's cashing in on my 80s nostalgia. I'm paying the money to see it, and I hope it doesn't suck. Anybody go.
I don't care. I can't wait. I was lucky enough to tell you guys that, you know, my dad and grandparents love going to the movies, and they love taking me, and this is a movie my dad and I went and saw, and I remember vividly being in the theater watching this. As far as Barf goes, what about Scarf, the younger son who just eats everything around? No, I don't know. Someone said Chuck in the thread the other day. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, I liked that one. Like a play on a Ralph. I think Ralph is another one that you could use.
Sure. That would work too. But I'm here for all of it. I think it's going to be super fun. I'm glad all these people are coming back, because all these people are going to make a shit ton of money off of this. If they're smart, they're going to sell a whole bunch of merchandise with this. They should have a fucking fast food meal with it, like they used to with big movies. And then lastly, what was the last thing I had here? I forgot. I'll jump back in at the end. Sorry. Oh,
Ray, are you?
I'm sorry, I remembered. Real quick, this should be called Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money, like they predicted 37 years ago.
Do we know if Daphne Zuniga is coming back too?
God, there's a blast from the past. I got to look. What is she doing nowadays? Anybody have any ideas?
I don't know. I'm actually looking her up right now.
I mean, I'll go before Ray just because I'm...
You can go because I ain't got shit to say. I've never seen...
Wait,
I got this, Patrick, because you guys are very unsuccessful with another movie that he says he watched. Bray, I'll give you $10 if you watch this movie.
I don't need it.
Ray, I swear to you,
I'm about to win $20 off of Ray this year anyway.
He is not. He thinks he is, but good try.
Even if I... The movie's so good. It's the last good Mel
Brooks. Ray, you would really like it. It's not like all the other Mel Brooks movies. It really isn't.
I believe you guys. It just ain't.
There's nothing wrong with the other Mel Brooks movies. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I'm saying this is someone that isn't a giant fan of all of his movies. Like, I like certain ones. So, and Ray is not a Mel Brooks guy. I feel like this is probably the most liked Mel Brooks movie for people who aren't really into Mel Brooks.
This might be a bigger sin than Flash Gordon. I'm just saying.
It might be. But, you know, I think it's fantastic that we're going to get this after all this time. Mel Brooks coming back. All these people are coming back. Yeah, you wish John Candy could be here, but we know that's not possible. But it's one of the most pleasant surprises of 2025 so far. Is this and Happy Gilmore 2 are probably like the two really feel good moments that are going to have. Well, I don't know if this comes out in 2025. I don't think so. But just the announcements and stuff, I think it's going to be awesome. Mel Brooks, like you said, 98 years young and still just slinging it. So I think that's going to be fantastic. And that scrawl that they had, that had Mel Brooks' fingerprints all over it. Just the wit, the sarcasm.
Oh, it was perfect. It was so good.
Beautiful thing. Yeah, I think this is awesome.
Ray, I'm begging you, bro. You have a Max account. Like, you got to have Max. It's on Max, dude.
I will buy it and send it to you on VHS, buddy.
Sending him a fucking Blu-ray or something.
I'm willing to break the seal on putting an episode of Bandwagon Nerds on YouTube to watch along with you Space. I would do that.
I think Ray would do that. Ray would do that.
And then you can compare it to your mini watchings of Flash Gordon, and you can let us know which is superior.
Ray'd be like, what shit?
I'm so stunned by this. I'm so stunned by this news that I need to take a commercial break. I need to take a break from the podcast for a moment so that I can mentally recover from the fact that you've never seen Spaceballs. That blows my mind, sir. So we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a Nintendo movie that's seeing a little bit of a delay, but probably not anything to panic about. Stay tuned for that and more when we come back. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and invest in one of our many amazing chair shot shirt designs. Get the Bandwagon Nerd shirts. We need the money. The search for more money continues here on the ChairShot Radio Network as well. And to help me get past this trauma, I'm going to call it a trauma. I am traumatized. The Super Mario Brothers movie made, to quote somebody from The Nerdist, a shit zillion dollars last year, which then led Nintendo to be like, hey, if that made a shit zillion dollars, we should totally do a Legend of Zelda live action movie, because I bet you it'll make a shit zillion dollars. It was originally scheduled to be released on March 26, 2027. However, this has been pushed back for, quote, production reasons to May 7th, 2027. Gentlemen, on the surface, this doesn't particularly sound like a big deal. However, when I see the reason being production reasons, the flags go up. So should the flags go up, or is it a blip? To Ray Cash, I haven't let you go first like this whole podcast, Ray. So you go first.
I appreciate that. I think it's a blip. I think all of us who pay attention to stuff like this, particularly have played the game and know a little bit about the story, know that this is going to be a very difficult movie to make. Casting, scenery, CGI, whether you want to do a live action or even if you want to do animation, even harder, even though things are a little easier with computer imagery now. But this is going to be a hard movie to make. So I have no qualms with a few months. Had they pushed it back a year and used that reason, I would be a little concerned. But people move movies a lot of the times. Movie studios move movies a lot of times. Not even, they said production reasons, but it could be for strategic box office dates. We've seen that happen. They just moved in strategery. They just moved Secret Wars, or not the first Kang, not Kang Dynasty, Doom.
Doomsday.
They just moved it from May
Doomsday.
To Avengers December. Doomsday, yeah. Not because they need more time, but because they know there's going to be a better chance for it to make the money they wanted to in December than in the summer, as opposed to how it used to be. So I'm not concerned about a few months. You give me over a year, then we need to have some conversation. But we need to see a cast. You can't build a movie if you don't know who's playing it.
What do you think of the rumor that Hunter Schafer has been cast as Zelda?
I don't mind that. Hunter Schafer is a fantastic actor. I don't mind that. I don't think that's the right choice. And you know with Hunter Schafer is going to come a lot of issues with people watching, knowing who Hunter Schafer is. But that is a fantastic. If you ever seen Hunter
Schafer, I honestly, God, I've never watched Euphoria, so I know nothing about this woman.
They are. I don't know Hunter's pronouns, but they are fantastic. And if you don't know Hunter's trans,
oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's going to possibly bring a lot of unnecessary backlash to a movie of that level. I think it's bullshit, but we love the world we live in.
Right. Dave, blip or concern?
I think it's, I'm like Ray, it's a blip. I mean, a couple, 4-6 weeks of a delay doesn't seem like anything that should really cause too much cause for concern, that sort of thing. I think, yeah, if it was a longer delay, I'd be a little bit worried about it. But it is a daunting task with Zelda as far as like where are you placing the story? Which story are you incorporating? And how are you presenting this in the way that will make a shit zillion dollars, but also appeal to, you know, the hardcore fans who have been clamoring for this movie forever. So yeah, I'm not that concerned about it. You know, when I first read the article, I was like, ah, shit, it's delayed. And I was like thinking, it's going to be a year or something. But now it's like, well, that's not really that bad. You know, 4-6 weeks, no big deal. So I'm not too concerned about it. I'm more concerned with casting, content, and that sort of thing than I am about this minor delay.
I kind of echo Dave's sentiment right there. Is like, we haven't, it's not like we got the first one already and it was awesome and now they're delaying the second one, right? Like, we haven't even had it yet. So you can't really be too pissed off. What is it, 4 to 6 weeks of delay? That's it, really? Like, that's nothing. I imagine it might get pushed out further, but this is something that can be iconic. This is something that can make a director. This is something that can make the stars of who play, you know, Link and the Princess Zelda. I mean, like, who's going to play Ganon? Like, everything else like that. Like, you can really make someone in these roles. And I hope that while they have a good balance of new actors and established ones, I hope the majority of the major roles go to unestablished actors.
So I do want to make clear for this podcast, Hunter Schafer has not been cast as Zelda. That is a fan rumor and push that has been put out there that has been picked up by some other outlets, including Forbes and the like. But looking up, like, as you all are saying, in terms of official casting, that has not been announced by the studio. So I think there's more to come on that. And like you said, we'll have to wait. And when we start, have we gotten any casting announcements? We haven't gotten any. No. So
we don't even have a director.
It would be a little bit of a surprise. This could just be some fan momentum and me unfortunately putting in some rumor stuff that folks want and may not be true.
It's the ears, Pat. It's the ears on her. That's what gives it away. She looks like she's going to help you.
My question to you guys is, what director would you like to see get attached to this? Because I think casting is going to come after that.
See, like you're saying, Tony, like the thing about Zelda is, as a franchise, it's got a lot more depth to it than Mario does. I mean, there's a lot more lore and a lot more stories. And so you're absolutely right. They can really do something big with this and set this on. I'm not going to say it's Lord of the Rings, so don't jump on me about that.
It's got the
potential to do something.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're going to do it, can you imagine Peter Jackson directing this fucking thing? Jesus,
boy! But it'd be too similar. I'd want it to be, to Tony's point, I'd want it to be someone that's not the most popular. Give someone a chance to make their name, because unless Nintendo, the studio, has a distinct vision that says, oh, well, yeah, this looks like a John Chu movie. Oh, well, this looks like a Steven Spielberg movie. If they don't, someone build that vision.
Who I'd like to see, it's not going to happen, but Denis Villeneuve from Dune. Would he be willing?
No, that doesn't make sense at all.
Why?
No. Because, all right, I love the story of The Legend of Zelda. I love Breath of the Wild. I love Ocarina of Time. I love the OG. Villeneuve takes himself so seriously. Much like Superman, dark, gritty Zelda doesn't work. No, that's not the right answer.
Oscar bait.
No.
Master
no, we're not going to.
So
I would be willing to bet that Nintendo, before Tony tells us what Grok says.
God damn, you're good, man. You're right. You're right.
You can't even see him.
I was like, here's my thing. I think Nintendo will actually lean towards a director they can control, because Nintendo has always been very protective of their properties. So if it is a young up and coming director, it's going to be an up and coming director that they can control. And I would be willing to bet, like, that was very much part of the Super Mario movie, was Nintendo got a director that they would be like, this is our vision, now direct what we say. Okay, Tony, who does Grok say?
Wes Ball is likely to direct the upcoming live-action Legend of Zelda movie. Nintendo announced in November 2023 that Ball, known for directing Maze Runner trilogy and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, is attached to help the helm the project. He has expressed enthusiasm for the franchise, aiming to create grounded and real adaptation with a Studio Ghibli-inspired aesthetic. While the film's release has been delayed, there are no indication that Ball's involvement has changed.
I like the connection to Maze Runner. I like that.
Yeah, would they possibly bring back Horvath and Jelinek from Super Mario Brothers and let them take a run at this too? I mean, made all that money.
I'm good with Ball.
But it was an animated film, and it's a different
It feels like Nintendo's already given him that power to basically say, "Yeah, I'll do it once they get going here."
Was he involved in the screenplay? Does anybody know? Because I hate it when directors aren't really involved in the screenplay. I know it happens all the time, but like I'd like for the director to have their vision.
But again, I'm telling you, it's going to be Nintendo's vision, guys. It's going to be Nintendo's vision.
No, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Nintendo can be involved, but if the director's involved in the writing of it, at least there's some synergy into what he's doing. Whether somebody wrote this book, I got to figure it out now. That's all I mean.
I hear what you're saying now.
He's basically almost attached as director. The screenplay is being written by Josh Friedman. He wrote The Way of Water and Terminator Dark Fate.
Way of Water is also another good comp because Avatar, even though it's not quite live action, does kind of fit the dynamic of Legend of Zelda.
The worlds grounded and real are directly quoted from Studio Ghibli and their aim for this movie and their vision.
All right. I'm actually going to move up one other topic because we just took a commercial break. So we're going to have a little lawyer time with Dave because our next story is about two companies joining forces because they're losing money. They are the victims here as Disney and Universal are coming together to go after AI company Midjourney. Now, I shared the worst article link I could possibly share with you guys, and for that, I apologize. Should have found a good, like, deadline sort of article. This thing that I gave you is horrible. It looks like somebody made it on, like, the first internet web page generator you can make out there. The gist of this is, and I'm actually surprised, Dave, and I'll turn to you. I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner, given how much AI generated images are used to put out intellectual property in various ways. Like, I admittedly am guilty of sharing AI generated movies or AI images of movies Muppets shouldn't be in and putting them out because they're funny. But it does not surprise me that a company has pushed the envelope to the point where two of the biggest studios in the world are like, hold up, we're suing you now. So, Dave, it was inevitable. Do Disney and Universal have a case against these companies?
I don't think so, because the reason is that Midjourney is just giving a platform for this stuff, this AI generation in a way that AI, that it can create images. The problem is the users who are going in there and say, give me an AI generated image of Elsa that I can throw into this movie. And so it's like Midjourney's like, look, we're just providing the platform. We don't know what the hell these people are doing with this stuff. That's sue them. Go after them for proliferating all this copyrighted trademark material. It's a real slippery slope on this one, I think, because it's just like, it is like, yes, Disney and Universal and all, and anybody, Universal, WWE, anybody of these places have a trademark copywritten right to their images, their licenses, that sort of thing. But, you know, if you're just suing Midjourney on the premise that, hey, you've created a platform whereby people can use this and they can take licensed material and use it for themselves and we're cut out of this thing, man, you might as well start. You got to sue ChatGPT. You got to sue DALL-E. You got to sue X. Grok. You got to sue Grok. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, where do you draw the line at? And I think this is really generative AI is not going anywhere. I mean, yeah, it's fun to use it for like stuff like some of the stuff we do, or you get, you know, hey, can you write me fan fiction for this whole sort of thing? And you use it for kind of entertainment, but there's so much more to what they're doing with AI right now. And this is just barely scratching the surface of what they're doing with this shit. I mean, there's AI doing quantum calculations that cut the time down from millions of years to, you know, a few weeks, that sort of thing. So from my standpoint, just looking at it, knowing what I know about this, it's like you're basically Disney and these guys are going to sue somebody for creating a platform that enables people to do a wide variety of things. And some people are using it to violate your trademark. That's all. I get that. But I still have trouble with, well, how are they ultimately more responsible than any of these other four or five anything out there that does this thing? So I think it's a tough one for Disney and NBC or whoever the other one is to do this.
Universal,
it just seems like these tendrils are reaching too far down. And what I mean, like,
I mean, you know, maybe you got to start somewhere though, right?
You do, but it still comes down to me. It's like, these are the individual users who you have to go after, like Spotify telling people, hey, you're using copyrighted stuff for your own show, get rid of it. And this is kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, you can't punish the guys.
So let me ask you this question, because this is also how things get established, right? Is somebody eventually sues and then it gets determined in the courts as to what can and cannot be done. So I guess to me, it actually kind of makes sense. I'm like I said, when I asked you the question, I'm surprised Disney or Universal or any of these IP owners hadn't sued one of these companies sooner, because like this shit's everywhere. And if you're profiting off of it, like if movies Muppets shouldn't be in, where I am currently looking at an image where they have put Rolf from the Muppets in with Buffalo Bill looking over the pit for puts the lotion in the basket. Like if that's in there and it's being sold as a poster, and then I'm making that, then I and the company are making money off of. Well, like it's like there's no guardrails, right? Right now there's no guardrails, there's no rules.
Right.
What are the guardrails and what are the rules?
Whoever puts that video out, you know, they're the ones making money off of it. The question is, if Midjourney, a lot of these are like, I mean, like DALL-E is ChatGPT's version of image generator. You get access to it if you're paying for ChatGPT Pro. So
where's that money go?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so if you pay $20 a month, you get access to the image generation, that sort of thing. So are they making money off of this? Yes. And I think that's where they've got legs on this thing. It's like, you guys you're providing this platform, but you're also charging people for it. These people are using this. We can't go after them, everybody individually, so we're going to go after you. And there is some merit to that, you know, and how does a company like Midjourney, there he is, how does a company like Midjourney go and regulate that? And I don't know the answer to that. So there has to be some stuff in play. You're right. This is the first way to test this, to maybe get a company like Midjourney, ChatGPT, OpenAI, all these guys to say, we need to put in safeguards that are regulating the use of image generation. When I first read the article, though, I got very concerned that, you know, they were talking about how AI gathers information. And it's like, if you're trying to say that they can't scour the internet and everything that Disney and all these other companies have put out there for decades, that they can't use that to teach themselves, then I think the courts are going to be like, no, man, you've put a lot of this shit in the public forum that's easily searchable. So no, we're not going to hit them with that. But what you're talking about is like, yeah, if you are making money off this image generation and people are using it and they're making money off of this because they're doing a Muppet, you know, like you're saying, there's going to be ramifications. It's going to be very difficult to police, though. And, you know, you got to also balance that. We cannot stifle AI because that is the future. No way to dispute that.
Yeah, Ray, stop using AI, Ray. Stop doing it.
So the $20 that I'm going to win from Ray when the Steelers win six games this year, I'm going to let him keep for giving me the software help to get my camera going again. Thank you, Ray.
Just ask what Grok thinks of this lawsuit.
No.
By the way, Patrick uses most AI in this because that's how he figures out how many progeny I have every show.
9,376,232.
That's quantum computing, Ray. Quantum computing, buddy.
All right. More of the it's Dave's right. People aren't going to stop using AI to generate images. The cat is well out of the bag. Like it's so far out of the bag. It's run halfway across the country, has been adopted with a bunch of other cats, and has as many progeny as Raymond S. Cashington Esquire, the 9,374,242nd has. All right, we're going to head into our carry the two. And all of that is to say that Ray still hasn't seen Spaceballs and Flash Gordon. So
the disrespect of the second one.
He's seen Flash Gordon. How many times is there variants? 9,746.
Just 23 times. That's it.
Anyway, Ray Cash has never seen Flash Gordon, never seen Spaceballs. Hopefully we'll get him to see one. We're going to take our second commercial break. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit about San Diego Comic-Con and say goodbye to a couple of music icons and maybe even a Father's Day surprise. Stay tuned for all of that and more. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head, prowrestlingtees.com. /thechairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. Spend $20, get a nice t-shirt, spend a few dollars more, get it soft style. It'll feel great on your giblets. Ray Cash, PC Tunney, and David Ungar still with me as we head into the final segment. And gentlemen, one of my favorite events of the year has me a little worried, as it has now been announced that both the DCU and the MCU will not have a presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year. No Hall H presentation for either franchise. Okay. Suddenly I don't want to follow San Diego Comic-Con. Ray, you're shaking your head. It's a bummer, right?
It's a bummer. But Marvel, it makes sense. You gave the world everything last year, and you're in the middle of the setup to all this new shit coming. They have nothing else to tell us. Unless you want to give us a 20-minute thing on Wonder Man. There's nothing else to show us. I get that.
I mean, DC, I want a 20-minute thing on Wonder
Man. I would too, but we can wait till December.
I mean, I don't know. Can I?
I think DC has dropped the ball. I'm talking Bill Buckner. This is a and this is Zaslav is an idiot.
Bill didn't drop the ball. It went through his wickets, man.
Went through his wickets, went left. Wide left, whatever euphemism sports-wise you want to use, they fumbled here. Because this is the chance for them to say, this is mine now. And you have so many things coming out that we have no earthly idea about other than Big Blue on my birthday. In fact, let's do a Bandwagon Earth poll. Everybody but Dave, because Dave is a DC super fan, so respect to him. Do any of the other two people on this show know what the next thing after Superman is for DC?
Superman 2?
Even Dave don't know. So they this don't, is your chance to build us. That. But see, that's the thing. They have, because he laid out the entire list.
So what's next? Then?
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. I got to look it up.
I think it's Batman Brave and Bold is probably
that
next.
May be right. But that's the point. This could have been your chance to do
green,
that.
Is there like a Green Lantern series coming somewhere?
Maybe.
Too?
No, I don't think it's been cast.
There's a Supergirl film somewhere.
And that's the point. You should have had the chance to take over, right, to let people know what was next, and to get some steam going. Because right now there is no steam in DC with the exception of Superman. And if that does well, that does great, cool. That can't be the be-all, end-all of your entire studio. This was your chance, and you dropped the ball.
I just don't think they care about being present at Comic-Con. I don't think they care about Hall H anymore. I think that they so have their own ability to put it all up on their own streaming service, to do whatever they want. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why wouldn't Marvel have waited for their fucking 9-hour thing that went chair by chair by chair by chair? That could have been something, that could have been a Hall H something, right? But no, they used it on their own platform to go out and get attention. In the same way, I think DC is going to do the same thing, in the same way that isn't like mainly everything Disney a Disney day now and not something that's San Diego Comic-Con. And to be honest with you, the opposite side of that, you want to know who's happy about this? Every other thing that's involved at Comic-Con. And you know what? If this brings eyes for us and other people that love a wide range of things that not necessarily we wouldn't have noticed before, then I think San Diego Comic-Con is better for it.
If you give me 5 seconds, you're right that they absolutely can use their platforms. But Disney's way bigger than anything that Warner Brothers Discovery can be. And they still went to Hall H last year and gave the biggest introduction possible. So it's not too small at all.
That was more like 12 to 15 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know. You were still at like 4 4/5.
So I know. I was trying to give it time.
So the timeline that I'm looking at least initially, talks about Peacemaker Season 2. We know that's coming. Lanterns is coming. And then Supergirl, like Pat was saying. I speculated. I think I sent it to you, Pat. I was wondering, like, I wonder if DC wants to bring back Fandom in some form or fashion and use that to, like, just showcase all their own DC stuff, because that was pretty successful during the pandemic, and maybe they're angling in that direction. I don't know.
I literally searched, I Google searched DC Fandom while we were talking, and there is nothing on the books saying that there's going to be something like a DC Fandom. I do want to put this out there. Can anybody name, because I, Tony, I agree with you that I think it is a good opportunity for Hall H, and I'll be interested to see who gets the coveted Saturday night Hall H spot. Like, will it
before
be
you, before you ask the question that you're going to ask, I know what you're about to ask. Let me just say one thing though. Like, Max is going back to HBO Max, right? Don't you think they're going to want to have something big there? Like, they have DC, don't they? Isn't that, they're so still there, right?
Thinking like they're going to do a version of To Doom? Like,
you could do both.
I mean, if they were smart, they'd just go back to fucking HBO and have their shit go back to being the fucking static, you know? Anyway, I digress. Sorry, Patrick. You're about to ask a really good question.
Well, because I do agree that it's an opportunity, that coveted Saturday night Hall H. And I do think that Comic-Con in particular had been dominated prior to the pandemic by Marvel Hall H. Like, period. Saturday night, Marvel Hall H, that was the culmination of Comic-Con. And that void has been huge. And in the last few years, has it really been filled? And it started at the pandemic. And so my question is there another event or entity that was hurt more by the pandemic in terms of what we expect out of it than San Diego Comic-Con? Because what I saw happen is when the pandemic happened, these companies started to do their own thing. Disney, which owns the MCU, D23, they started really pushing D23 in different ways. DC Fandom was very much a DC-owned entity. Netflix does To Doom. Like, they found something else. And Comic-Con, I actually appreciated Comic-Con, not last year, but 2 years ago, because its scale was comic books. It was almost much more back to its roots, if you will. But that is not a butts-in-the-seat money-making proposition for the con. That is a deep cut thing for the con.
The only thing I can think that's comparable that got hit by the pandemic that hard is E3. E3 had the same sort of thing.
Yeah, E3's dead. Yeah.
If we're talking just conventions, then yeah, you're right. But you're talking something involving entertainment, nothing was hit harder than movie theaters. Right. Studios had to go down.
Well, I was talking about events like what we're talking about here. Like events
Comic-Con is the biggest. Comic-Con is the biggest by far.
Right. And New York was a close second. And I've seen New York actually kind of rise, oddly enough.
Because it was different. It wasn't always specifically based on the studio.
As somebody who used to be able to easily get tickets to the New York City Comic-Con and went back when the first Avengers movie was coming out and Stan Lee himself was on a dais signing autographs the day I was there, it was a completely different world. So it's very, very fascinating to me. And I don't think, kids, I also don't want you to walk away from this thinking that I'm declaring Comic-Con dead. San Diego Comic-Con is not dead. It will continue to go. It will persevere. It has survived doom and gloom projections that we've had on this program, you know, around show 220 about a year ago, or 180 even before that. Like the last couple Comic-Cons, there's been some voicing of concerns as to where it's going to go. and it's found a way, and it's found a way back. So I want to know who's going to be in Hall H. I want to know who it's going to be. Is it going to be Fox? Is Fox going to is that going to do? But they're owned by Disney, so I don't know.
The interesting news bit is that no, DC isn't doing a Hall, but Peacemaker's doing a Hall. So you have enough for Peacemaker to do a Hall. You have enough for DC,
right?
I wonder.
And
if,
it's coming out. When's the season start?
Peacemaker's in July.
So it's going to come out before San Diego Comic-Con. So it's not even going to be a hype thing. It's going to be like, it's going to be talking about, it's going to be one of those panels where we bring out the stars and everybody cheers. And then we ask questions about the past season and where it's going next.
You know, while I'm not a fan of this property, marching those kids out for the new Harry Potter reboot, that might not be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we don't know what IPs are going to be where. We know they're coming. So Hall H on Saturday is a day of events starting at 5:00. It would be company after company. And then Marvel would hit the stage at like 9 Eastern, mm-hmm. maybe even later, because it was always in the mid afternoon in San Diego. And it was like, God, I can't stay up for this. So we'll see. Tony, what do you got, buddy?
August 21st for Peacemaker on right. HBO Max, probably by then. Maybe even HBO by then. Who knows how fast they'll keep moving.
They simultaneously do those now. They did that with Last of Us. Is the episodes would air on HBO on Sunday and then be almost immediately ready for
time. So same time. They debut on like your cable as the same as the streaming. So that way, whichever one you have.
I got the dates wrong. San Diego Comic-Con is July 24th through the 27th this year.
I've tried. I've tried to watch those shows live and they never come on.
I have DirecTV, so yeah.
I have Max. Yeah. So yeah. I don't have HBO, the channel. I have Max.
Do you want me to start ranting and raving about that? I got Peacock to fix their WWE shit. All right. Challenge accepted.
All right. Let's talk Fathers. Actually, no, let's not talk Fathers. Let's say goodbye first. We'll talk Fathers next. We'll end on a popular one. So I know this is probably nearer and dearer to Dave and I's hearts, and that is not to minimize Ray or Tony's love of music. But I will say for me personally, this was a shitty week for music, as two of my all-time favorite musicians, who I want to be clear, lived very good lives. They lived to be 82 years old. So by no means do I think this is like tragic, but as someone who grew up loving this music because of his parents, to learn of the passings of both Sly Stone and Brian Wilson within 72 hours of one another at the age of 82 was a tough first half of the week. And we did musical chairs episode about both the Beach Boys and Sly Stone, and you can listen to what and Brian was the oldest brother of the brothers that were part of the Beach Boys. He was the last to pass, and when you consider what his life was and what he experienced, from the extraordinarily amount of abuse and pressure put on by their father and his uncle, to his mental breakdown that led to him literally being held hostage by his doctor, who was over-medicating him and controlling his life, until a woman who Brian fell in love with literally helped break him out and emancipate him, to go through all of that and come out on the other side and produce Smile, which was supposed to be the next Beach Boys album that then he produced on his own, was nothing short of miraculous. And that guy is a fucking genius that I still don't feel gets talked about enough. And he gets talked about a lot, as opposed to Sly Stone, which I wonder how many people really know anything about Sly and the Family Stone outside of the song Everyday People and Dance to the Music. And that man was a fucking genius in his own right, but his own demons and battles with drugs and his extreme paranoia with everybody he collaborated with within his own family. Like, he literally led to the destruction of his own band by slowly but surely removing them from the band because he didn't trust anybody. And yet when you look at his skill and strength of competition, his infusion of white Southern music with funk to create a sound all its own. He just two absolute giants of the 60s and 70s when it comes to making music passed away. And I highly encourage you to check both of these artists out. You know, Brian Wilson was talking about how he didn't feel comfortable in the world that he lived in ever, that he was not made for these times, literally the name of his song. You know, Sly Stone was challenging white people's comfort level by releasing tracks called Don't Call Me, and I'm sorry, Don't Call Me Nigger Whitey. That's the name of a song on the album Stand. Like, literally a song title that is abrasive, and it is built to make you uncomfortable. And he was pushing that in a time when civil rights was at its peak, and people didn't want to hear it, especially white people in the South. So that, to me, just the biggest of happy trails to two of my all-time favorite musicians. Gentlemen, I don't know how familiar you are with either of these groups. So any thoughts you want to have, don't want to have, I don't mind. I just, two giants in music and entertainment passed today, this week.
I learned a great deal about both of them from our Musical Chairs episodes, which I would urge anybody, since Spotify is full of shit and didn't pull anything down, go listen to those.
You don't have to, like, tug on fucking Superman's cape if we want to stick to present fucking storylines. I mean, the bear is sleeping. Let it. Don't spray it with the bear spray, Dave.
I'm gonna piss on the bear. They're not listening. Jesus. But no, I would say poke away. I would say, yeah, go ahead and listen to those two episodes because they're really good. And Patrick did a marvelous job breaking down Sly and the Family Stone, and the Beach Boys are, you know, an entity unto themselves. So, yeah, I mean, 82 is a good run for both of them, and both of them dealing with some serious issues along the way. So I think they're both excellent, and I don't have a lot to add than you did, Pat, because where would I even start? So,
no, if you know Patrick O'Dowd, you know that these two people are very influential in his fandom of music and who he is intrinsically as a person. I have the luxury of having known this man for a few years, so I've known this. We've had a couple conversations, nothing too in-depth, but I will say that both of these men and their bands were fantastic artists. They were very two of the greatest songwriters.
Ray, buddy, you're sounding a little underwater, buddy. Yeah,
did you hit a button or something,
did you
Ray?
Jump in the pool, Ray? Are you broadcasting?
Or nope. Is it the headset?
It's the headset.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
All right. You're back.
It went into Eddie Vedder mode.
Yeah,
it's like you were just to get you back on track, you were about to talk to everybody about how great I am, and then oddly enough, that was when the microphone cut away.
That's like, the universe said, no.
Bye-bye. no, so besides, yes, their bands are two of the best bands and the two of the best artists ever. They're absolutely two of the best producers and songwriters we've ever seen. And for someone who enjoys the musicality of music and the structure and how it's built and made, you care about music, you want to get into music, you want to play music, go look these two guys up. Yeah, all the performances and all that, it's cool. But the way they were able to build and create the song structures and for them and other artists, look that up. Legendary.
They're equally iconic. I mean, there's not much else to add, but what you guys have said. They'll be missed. I mean, thank God we have their collection of music to remember them by, and, you know, have been blessed with it, you know, for so long. So you just like to think that the open mic in heaven just got a little bit better.
So, couple of things to put out there to folks. If you are interested in learning about these artists and their influence, the Beach Boys documentary that is on Disney Plus, free to stream, definitely one you should watch. Another documentary titled Brian Wilson, Long Promised Land, is actually a documentary that is Brent Wilson, the director, no relation, was given, like, Brian granted him surprising access and the opportunity to be with him and interview with him. It's a fascinating documentary. I love it to death. And then Questlove, a couple of years ago, put out a documentary. I think it was 2021. It's called Summer of Soul. And it's about the 1969 Harlem Cultural Music Festival that took place in Harlem. And Sly Stone was a very significant part of that festival. And the one, watch it anyway, because it's the subtitle is When the Revolution Would Not Be Televised. Because the Summer of Soul Festival in 1969 in Harlem was supposed to be televised and put out as a documentary, and it mysteriously did not get released. It never got released. The footage just got put in storage and never got sold because reasons. I think you can guess the reasons in 1969 why it didn't. And Woodstock got all of the press, happened at the same time. And then finally, if you feel like reading or just listening to a good audiobook, thank you for Let Me Be Myself Again, the Sunday Times music book of Sly Stone. It's by Sly Stone. It's a memoir by Sly. That's his life in his own words. Definitely worth a read. All right. Raise a glass. Happy trails. Brian Wilson, Sly Stone. It's Father's Day. And as I put out the rundown yesterday, after I put it out, got a rundown suggestion from one PC Tunney, who, after I didn't respond right away, put up his favorite GIF of Larry David. And so we're going to hand this over to Tunney to lay the foundation and explain to everybody what we're going to do here for Father's Day before we go to what you're watching. So, Tunney, take it away, sir.
Oh, thank you, Patrick, for including the segment, by the way. I think we all know where I'm going, so I'll go first after I introduce the segment. It's Greatest Superhero Father, in honor of Father's Day, and we should have done this on Mother's Day, I think, too. Would have been a good one maybe for next year. And it's whatever superhero you want. Their parent, their dad, doesn't have to actually be their dad. Their dad doesn't have to be a superhero. Who was the best fatherly figure to a superhero, basically, is the question. Where am I going? We know where I'm going, but it's a really good pick. And Joe West is an amazing father to Barry Allen. Not only did a police officer adopt a convicted murderer's son and raise him as his own, but when it came time, he allowed said adopted son to marry his biological daughter and create a family. There's never been a greater father in the history of superhero as Joe West, who is morally correct and has done a wonderful job as a dad, not only to his own daughter, but to The Flash. And this is best depicted in the CW series, The Flash, with Grant Gustin. Thank you. My time.
You're running the segment, so you got to tell us who's.
Oh, shit. Dave. Let's go to Dave. Dave?
The best.
Which Superman's dad are you picking?
The only one that counts. Jonathan Kent's got to be.
On the segment, sorry.
Jonathan Kent's got to be, you know, I mean, everything, you know, to put yourself on the line like that. I mean, the dumb scene with Kevin Costner and Man of Steel notwithstanding. I mean, yeah, no. Yeah, he's got to be.
By the way. Plenty of time to get under that fucking overpass.
Of course there was, but yeah, you know, but no. And if you're really Superman, you could have gone out there, grabbed him, and nobody would have seen it because he can move at the speed of light, for fuck's sake. But I would say honorable mention would have to be Uncle. If you're talking father figures, let me.
So I don't get to do the show.
No, I already knew what you were going to do. I want you to do somebody different. Can we do dads? We do like worst dads because
no,
I just posted no, something on no, tag it's bandwagon
worst,
nerds was
the it's the worst of Chris Platt's cheapest attachment. No.
Do you mean to tell me that the man who shot his son into space isn't the better Superman dad? He got rid of that child.
Wow.
He has no problems. He's living the life.
Wow.
He's dead, but he's living.
Yeah, that's true. Ray.
That's.
No, Pat, you go next. I did trample on Uncle Ben there a bit.
I just want to say to Jesse L. Martin, who played Joe West. He's a phenomenal actor.
We are done with The Flash, bro.
No, I'm running this segment, Ray. Mute yourself. You're in charge of the audio shit.
So believe it or not, I actually, while I appreciate Uncle Ben as a father figure, I actually wasn't going to pick him because Aunt May made Peter more who he is than Uncle Ben. And it's not to say that he wasn't close, but Aunt May like if we did a Mother's Day segment, Aunt May would be the mother, even though she's not the birth mother, like she would be the one. I actually had Jonathan Kent as one of my thoughts as well. I don't see how you can't say Norman Osborn isn't a great dad, guys. Like, he only mentally abused his kid to the point where he hallucinated the Green Goblin. But anyway, I will say, for all of his faults, one of the things Reed Richards gets right a lot is fathering Franklin and being a good dad for his kids as a member of the Fantastic Four. And he's always a character who's carried by regret for what happened to Ben Grimm. But he got it right, because Franklin could be a real problem if he were not under the right parentage. And Reed and Sue are definitely the right parentage.
Ray, I already know you're going to pick Thanos as your dad.
As Nebula and Gamora.
Before Ray goes, because I don't think he's going to go here, and if he does, then I'm really, really sorry. But in some way, isn't Professor X like one of the greatest fathers ever to the X-Men?
He's a terrible father because he brings the men to use them for global war.
He gives them the best opportunity to maximize.
Magneto's the better dad.
Magneto.
Magneto is better to his people than Professor X. Magneto, tell him up front, this is what I need you. quick honorable mention to the other Spider-Man dad, Jeff Davis, a real one. And my boy, Clint. Settle down, Clint is a good Clint. If we're talking father figures, Alfred.
Yeah,
Alfred by far is the best, because Alfred is the only one of all of these people who is only and selflessly dedicated to all of his kids.
What about Joe West? That's bullshit. You take that back right now.
Hold on, let me mute you.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, shout out to the boy Alfred.
Shout out. Ego, the living planet. What a dad.
Hey, Ego does have most kids. So, I mean, if we're being real.
Dave, use my audio. You can still hear me then.
Still hear you.
You didn't hear what
I don't know that I want to know what PC Tunney said when Ray muted him. I feel like there was some conflict. Just like, I also am very curious as to what was so damn funny while I was talking about two people being dead. And that's right. People pull the curtain back. I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah, Ray. Why are you just, yeah. Hard?
But anyway, Let's move on, shall we? And wrap up this show with one of my favorite segments, What You Watching? And we'll kick it off this week with PC Tunney. Tunney, what you watching?
I haven't been watching much. I've been playing a lot of stuff. I've been playing a lot of golf. I've been playing a lot of... I got NBA 2K 25 for like $17.
I saw you on there last.
Oh, I've been on there for hours, and I'm not playing. They have this thing where you can go into eras and you can start at a certain era and you can download like the realest rosters from forever. You can go all the way back to 1983. Like, you can start in 83, 91, 02, then it goes on to like 2013 and then modern. And it's just fun to go back and like take your favorite team, or I just took a random team and did a draft and then tanked. And then I had the first, third, and 10th pick in LeBron James draft. I got LeBron at one. The second team took Bosch. I took Wade. I traded the 10th and three future firsts for Bosch. So I had, in their rookie year, the big three. We won like the first seven titles. So it's fun. It's just fun. If you're an NBA head and you like, you know, old school going back and the rosters and the players, like Magic and Bird era is fun to do too. So that's the kind of stuff I've been watching that screen. Sim the regular season while I play GM.
It's funny that you mentioned that. It's about time for me to start up another college football season, University of Illinois, now that the summer is over.
Well, the new game's coming out pretty soon here.
I don't do that.
Time passes so fast when you're just doing GM mode and not doing it. Like, I can play for 2.5 hours and I'm like, oh, is it an nope, it's not 10, it's 12:30. Fuck.
That is me on Baldur's Gate 3 still continues to be one of the most immersive video games ever. I finally finished my second playthrough. I put 160 hours into my second playthrough. There's just so much to do in that game, and you can't escape it. And it's the same thing, Tony. You start playing it, and the next thing you know, it's like 3 a.m, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? I only play it on the weekends because I can't go down the wormhole.
for me, it's the best thing to get to like a pay-per-view if I'm waiting for like 6 o'clock to come around Central it's one. I'm like, well, I just ate lunch. I can't start drinking now or I'm going to fucking be done before it's over.
Right. So I'll go ahead and take my turn. Ever since taking the little O'Dowd to see Hamilton on Broadway, he's really embraced the music. He loves the music. He loves the pieces. And so we rewatched. Disney Plus has a lyric follow along version of Hamilton on Disney Plus. And I rewatched that the other day. The little O'Dowd came down to watch the King of England, and that was about it. For me, though, my favorite thing about that musical is you go through this whole musical through the perspective of Alexander Hamilton and his life and all that. And then the musical doesn't end with his legacy. It ends with his wife Eliza's legacy. And it's such a great turn on that musical that I think is awesome. The one show that I've been watching, Apple TV Plus, gentlemen, Murderbot, Alexander Skarsgård. One of the horniest damn TV shows I've watched in a long time without having a lot of sex, if that makes sense. And I think I've talked about this before. It's about an android. Alexander Skarsgård plays an android that is called a sec unit, a security unit. So his whole job is to protect human beings. And while on one assignment, he has been treated by a human so shittily that he eventually figures out how to, quote, go rogue, work around his programming, and he wants to kill all the humans that are working for him, or that he works for, but he can't because the company will destroy him. He then gets assigned to be a security unit for a bunch of kind of peace-loving science researchers on a planet that has some shenanigans going on. And there's so many things to this. There's a show within a show because he becomes obsessed with like human soap operas, and he watches this soap opera that tells the story of a ship captain that is in love with their android robot, and John Cho plays the ship captain, and Clark Gregg, who you might know as Coulson, plays a role in this fake show. It's hilarious. It's a great show. It's dropped five or six episodes so far. They're only 30 minutes. Apple TV Plus did it again. Check it out.
I have a question for Patrick. So this is excellent. Owen Wilson's got the golf series out. Has anybody seen any of that yet?
I haven't started it yet.
Yeah. And then obviously Ted Lasso, like, is that newest last season out or about to be out?
No, I don't know that they've even started that fourth season.
That's a ways away. But I haven't watched
the
third
seasons are there, yeah.
I haven't watched the third season. So besides Severance, what else is there that I would really like? And I've already watched the Beastie Boys documentary because I'm probably going to get back on the Apple TV Plus train.
So I really like Silo. I think that's on Silo, the one that's on. Yeah, Silo is on there. I don't know if you would like it. It stars Tim Robbins, Ian Glenn. Who else is in there? Rebecca Ferguson, Steve Zahn, Rashida Jones are all in it. And it's a post-apocalyptic future where a community exists in a giant underground silo comprising of 114 levels.
Is Steve Zahn the one trying to get people to come to the silo by saying, come on, come on, come on, come on?
No,
Solo. Okay, just checking.
I'm trying to remember. There was one other Apple TV show that I got really obsessed with.
The three that I can think of turning off for you off the top of my head is You'd Love Shrinking.
Yes, Shrinking is a fucking awesome show.
And you want to go back to the older days. Defending Jacob is a really, really good watch. And C, the show that had Jason Momoa.
Tony,
those are three shows I think you'd like.
Were you into, do you like the Godzilla stuff at all?
Oh, yeah. Monsters.
Monarch Legacy Monsters is excellent.
Foundation is another really good one.
You like comedies. It's and you like SNL people.
Oh, Schmigadoon.
Well, I was going to say Loot, but sure.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Schmigadoon you might not like so much because it is musicals, but it stars Cecily Strong.
I've seen the first few episodes of that, actually, because I had Apple
Ray, you know what's really good? Spaceball.
Deadass.
I don't know if I believe you. The other
part, you may not watch Spaceballs, but what are you watching, Ray?
Well, mainly right now, the NBA Finals. Shout out to the Pacers and the Thunder for a fantastic series. nothing major in the black media moment of the week for the show, because, you know, y'all ain't watched none of the shit that I watch.
Wait, Patrick already said the N-word, so isn't this the second moment?
He did. That's the name of the, that's the name of the podcast,
have
by the way.
To slap a racial warning. So. Oh, wait, no, we got a black guy in here. It's okay.
I feel like... I think
it is fair to mention sensitive language. But.
There is like 11,743 scenarios where a white person could use that word. And Ray, would you say he possibly hit one of those 11,000?
There are zero reasons why a white person can use that word. But I appreciate the historical context of what you were saying. So, hey,
just don't look at me and Ray's conversation.
Oh, don't out yourself, my boy. They'd be letting them flatten them. The Tyler Perry movie Straw with Taraji P. Henson, which got a lot of static this past week. I ended up watching it, so.
All right, Dave. Without saying the N-word, what have you been watching this week?
Blazing Saddles. No, anyway, so, you know, I've been watching, getting caught up on Jessica Jones quite a bit this last week, good watching show. That. I've been watching Unsolved Mysteries. I think I'm in, like, the last season of that on Netflix, which is, like... It's just always weird shit. The murders are just like, goddamn, two people sitting on
that's the Jordan Peele, right?
No, it's the successor to like the old Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack.
Jordan Peele did Twilight Zone. Sorry, yeah, I know he did one of those.
So I mean, just like, yeah, it's been pretty good. And I think what else? I did watch a couple episodes of Ted Lasso, so I'm trying to get caught up with that. So I'll join Tunney for season 3. But
you got plenty of time for that, given that season 4 is going to be out for like 2 years.
No doubt. It's going to be well. And Three Body Problem. Still watching that, which is like, I love that show, man. It's like, wait, these alien assholes aren't going to be here for 400 years and the whole world just falls apart. It's like, all right, maybe there's some problems there, but it's a really good show, though. I'm greatly enjoying that. So that's kind of what I've been doing this
week. Excellent. Excellent. Well, there you go, everyone. Some great stuff to check out. All right, before we get out of here, we are about to wrap it up. Let's do a quick once around. Tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, the Chair Shot Radio Network, however you want people to hear your voice. And this week, we'll start with the guy who never wants us to hear his voice, Raymond S. Cashington, Esquire, the 9,747,242nd.
You can find me at Don't Call Me. No, I'm playing. You can find me at it's Ray Cash. Y'all know the deal.
David Ungar.
Yeah, I guess you can find me at Don't Call Me White, NoFX's album or something like that. So, no.
Fucking Jew.
Fucking Jews.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
just going down the whole path.
Let's go. Let's all.
You know, in my defense, it is I can show you the album track title on the.
Oh, no, you don't need
another. Your Zionistic. Viewpoints notwithstanding. No, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at.
Dude, you got to go bomb Iran or something right now.
They need to work on that. You can find me at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression. All one word. Go ahead.
I'm almost scared to ask Tony to finish up.
My name is PC Tunney, and you can follow me at PC Tunney. I am in charge of Chairshot Radio Network, and I would like to apologize for the unbelievably highly edited version of Bandwagon Nerds this week.
Highly edited.
Hey, you can listen to this album.
Going on, buddy. No. Listen, if I'll put myself out in front of it. I'm okay with what we did today, and that's fine. And I think we're in a world of comedically. Like the N-word thing, not my territory. I think it was fine, but comedically making fun of different things to a point. I think we're at a point where we're not as sensitive as we have been overly sensitive in the past. So I like getting back to comedy where nobody takes themselves too seriously. Now there is a point, but that being said, I do appreciate the way we approach what we do here, and I love all of our personalities. And just so you know, all of our personalities have great relationships with one another and have very much open stream of communication.
And if anything we said offended you, send your hate mail and your complaints to @itsmeDPP. He's our customer service rep.
Been doing it for many years now, coming up on 300 episodes. All right, you can follow me and my unpopular music titles at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, and most Wednesdays. And I say that lightly. On the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Let me know if the next edition of Attitude of Aggression needs to go up a day early.
Hey now. We got a retro episode up last week. Thank you. When Greg DeMarco.
You say we?
Somebody got a retro episode up last week. I was just told that we were canceled. Anyway, you can catch me every Monday talking nerdy stuff with these guys. You can catch me every Wednesday or every Tuesday, talking sports with David Ungar on the Four Corners podcast. And you can catch me every Wednesday when we feel like it on the Greg DeMarco Show, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Thank you to all the fathers out there. Continue to do the good work. Make sure you enjoy a big, fat, medium-rare T-bone steak sometime this week, because you deserve to celebrate the work that you do, dads. Be a Frank, be a Reed Richards. Be a Jonathan Kent, I guess.
Don't be a Thanos. No, don't be Thanos.
Don't be a Thanos.
More importantly, be a Joe West.
Be a Joe West.
Damn it, muting again.
Oh, and there he is gone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
Now, come on.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.